Welcome to the 250th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome and thank you for listening. I hope this finds you all very healthy. It's a little bit different these days. I don't have any race to tell you about or an upcoming race, and actually I'm still on the disabled list or the sidelines with a running injury. I have a little bit of a nerve, compressed nerve that I'm dealing with on the right side of my lower back and into my pelvis. It's getting better. It's getting better slowly. I'm walking daily, so that gets me outside. I think the last episode I talked a good bit about, you know, just being able to do something proactive. And so my rehab right now is walking 3 miles a day, swinging my arms and getting my legs out and pushing off and, you know, getting some fresh air and sunshine. I'm doing bird dogs. If people don't know, you can Google what those are, but you're on your hands and knees. You extend one leg, opposite leg and opposite arm, bring them underneath. You can do variations. Doing a little bit of planking, working on that. The planks actually hurt my right leg a little bit, or the right side, that nerve a little bit. So I'm just starting to add those body weight squats, into it. Bridges, glute activation exercises. I've decided this is a good time to work on glute strength. That's not bothering me, so that's what I'm focused on. So things are getting better. It's kind of funny. I've never been someone that likes test, but I'm always testing myself to see if I'm quite better. I remember I had a stress fracture once, and I looked down every morning to see whether or not it was still swollen. You know, test it. Does it still hurt? And it's the same thing with this injury. It doesn't really hurt me at all when I'm not moving. It's only when I do certain things that it catches, and it's a bit like an electrical jolt of sorts followed by a muscle spasm. And so if I do something, it's not like I can sneak up on it. Either it does or it doesn't. And once it spasms, it takes a little bit for it to go away. The good news is that as I get better, it's shorter going away, or it doesn't take quite as long, and they don't happen as frequently, and I'm more stable. But, you know, it's kind of a setback when you get a spasm, when you're trying to relieve a spasm. But it's hard for me not to test it and do things that might cause it. Or, you know, you just have this want to try to pull something out or stretch something out or work something out. So I'm trying to be good and only do things that don't hurt for the most part. Walking is not comfortable. I'm not walking like I usually walk. There's muscles that aren't firing, but when I finish, I'm not worse than when I started. And, next week I'm going to actually have Dr. Stuart McGill on the podcast to talk about, back health and spine health and exercise and endurance and explosive activities, because he has a different view on things. You know, we talk about muscle versus nerve, and I really am a huge believer in his research and his books. So I've gone back to his books, and that's how I'm doing my research and so I think or my rehab, and I think that you'll really enjoy an interview with him next week, and we can talk about them, and I guess I'll get to be the guinea pig. As far as, you know, the backyard, we've got vegetables starting to grow, our peppers, tomatoes, and eggplant. The tower garden looks good. I had a little bit of a tower garden mishap. There's a pump on the tower garden that, like a water fountain pump, and it's plugged in, and the switch got flipped on that. And we had a couple hours where the pump wasn't working in the heat of the day, and everything just wilted and scared me to death. I thought I'd killed everything. But it's amazing, you know, when the water starts going back and it starts getting a little nutrients, they all perk back up. So everything was really wilty, and then they came back to life and nothing died. So I was very excited about that. So, you know, as far as tower garden troubleshooting, that's really one of the things. The pH of the electrolytes and minerals that you have in there can be an issue, but not really much of one. Obviously, you have to keep water in the tank to keep, and you have to keep the water flowing. So other than that, it's a pretty brainless type of device to be able to grow vegetables that grow on top of the ground, and I really do enjoy watching them grow. I'm still doing my microgreens, and those are really good, and I enjoy watching those grow as well. So I want to actually tie things in together today. I want to talk about eating olive oil versus lard. I want to talk about the process of doing something versus the outcome of doing something. I want to tie that into trying versus winning. and then come back to, I guess we'll finalize, what's your plan and how do you assess things? We're all different and we're all going to go about these things a different way, but I'm just going to give you my perspective. So if we start out with the olive oil versus lard, there was a study done, and it's published in the American College of Cardiology from the Brigham and Women's, who, you know, were a part of the nurses' health study. They looked at olive oil versus eating margarine, butter, mayo, dietary fat. And you guessed it, people that eat olive oil do better. They actually, 61,000 women, 31,000 men, looked at their diet every couple of years. They followed them for 24 years. There were 9,000 cases of cardiovascular disease, 6,000 cases of coronary heart disease, 3,500 strokes. But if you looked at the people that ate olive oil versus margarine, butter, mayo, and, you know, more fats and those kind of things, again, so more saturated fats, animal fats, there was a 14% reduction in cardiovascular disease in the olive oil group, as well as an 18% reduction in the coronary heart disease group. There wasn't much of a change in the stroke group. So you say, that's great, I should eat more olive oil. Well, it's better than eating margarine, butter, mayo, dietary fat. But again, there were still people having these events over that follow-up period. So it reduced it some. And if you actually look at it, it reduced it probably better than a lot of statins and medications. But it didn't reduce it completely. And it was a dietary history. So again, dietary, when you ask people what they ate, you know, there is some variation in what you can remember that you ate. So, but anyway, so I'm going to leave that there for now. Olive oil is better than margarine, butter, mayo, and dietary fat. It's better, but not perfect, right? So now let's go on to the process of, or the looking at whether something should be a process or an outcome. And when I talk about that is, you know, should we focus on how the process, and should the process be enough and we not worry so much about the outcome? Or should we be driven by the outcome and how best to get to the outcome? And, you know, so we can put that, I'm going to obviously, it's plant-based nutrition podcast, so I'm going to ultimately bring that around to dietary intervention. But I'm also an endurance athlete, so I'm going to add a little bit of that in there, and you can say, you know, a professional, or, you know, you know, being a human in general, which, you know, is it the process of living or the outcome? You know, I guess you can take it to, you know, at the end, were you a success? Does that matter? Is it just how you went? Most people will look at, you know, it's quoted Ben Franklin, you know, how many times did, you know, he fail before he had something good happen? You look in sporting events, how many times did, you know, a basketball player shoot free throws and didn't make them, you know, to win? You know, Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Some people will admit or agree to, but certainly, you know, he put a lot of hard work. What was better, the hard work or the outcome? If he would have worked hard and lost the Super Bowls, would have been the same. So those are things that you can ask. And when I ask myself that, I kind of, you know, it's again, you know, if you lose in the end, but you tried really hard, is that okay? And I guess I would have to say the harder or the bigger your goal is, the more you actually have to focus on the process. You know, when Tom Brady is on, I'm just going to give it, you know, playing football, or you're running an event or doing something, if you're only thinking about the outcome, then obviously you can be hampered in the process of actually doing it. It's easy to make the 1 foot putt when it doesn't count, you know, when nobody's looking. But if somebody says, you know, the car is on the line, then it becomes a little bit more difficult. If someone is telling you you can't do it, or there's a lot of negative chatter in your head, then it also may make a difference. Some might say that education is hampered by focusing on the test results, and that actually hampers creativity and ability for a teacher to actually teach a child, or teach, you know, whatever age group, according to what their needs are. If you're trying to lose weight or lower your cholesterol and you're focused on those numbers, it can hamper you so much that you're disappointed if a day doesn't go well, or, you know, you're off the wagon, or you get into something traveling that you give up, and you know, it becomes very, very stressful or becomes too overwhelming to actually do it, and you say, what the heck, I'm just going to do the Ben and Jerry's and call it a day. So again, you know, it's that process that's very important to the outcome. And again, when these outcomes are so important and they're so lofty, you know, we have to take it step by step at a time. And that's one of the big reasons why I like endurance sports and marathon running, is that it is really all about the process, the training on a day-to-day basis, you know, how to make things better. And sometimes the day of the marathon, things just don't go right. And that happens a lot in life, as we all know, that, you know, things just don't go right. The wins are much fewer than, you know, so you have to actually enjoy the process, because, you know, the wins might be, and the best races might be few and far between. But that doesn't mean we don't keep our eye on the ball, so to speak. Sometimes we get so caught up in something that it, you know, the question is raised, does it actually define who you are? You know, I can look at, you know, I'll give myself as the example. You know, I like running. So what defines success for me? It really is a continuum. I've been doing this for a long time. I didn't run as a young person. You know, I didn't run in high school. I didn't run in college. So, I'm not a pedigree runner, and I'm not a professional athlete. I have a day job. It's my hobby. Yet when people ask me about running or my marathons and they're interested, they want to know, what was your time? What place did you come in? Did you win or did you lose? How do I stack up against other people? So there's this comparative. And it's hard not to go down that route as far as, okay, I set these goals that I want to achieve. And how does that actually, does it define me, or is it just defining my sport? And the reality of it is, I'm much more than just running. If I could never run again, there would be a substitute. You know, I would have another thing that I would be, you know, or goal-oriented on, trying to do the best that I can. You know, so part of what defines me is having a goal to try to achieve, but keeping the process in mind. So I don't mind getting up and starting over again. I enjoy the process, the continuation of the whole thing. The other thing that defines me is being a physician. It's what I do for a living. It's how I spend the majority of my day. Obviously, you know, being a parent and a daughter is part of it as well, but being a physician is my job. And, you know, they define it as the practice of medicine, right? So we're always practicing. We never get it right. Nobody wants to go to a doctor that has had no good outcomes. It's kind of funny. People always say they have the best doctor. They went to the best. They were number one in their field. And I always giggle, because there's really, you know, I don't know what that measure really is. If it's a who's who publication, the number of articles that someone has written, the best surgical successes, the most vocal on Twitter, successes over a lifetime, wins versus losses. You know, it's impossible to define that. It's a perception that people have. But again, they want someone that's successful, but the reality of it is, it's how a physician practices throughout life that really defines that success. So let's pull it back into plant-based nutrition. Most of us started out eating the standard American diet. Doctors tell patients all the time, go home and eat healthy. We think we're eating healthy. People come in here all the time and say they eat healthy, yet they have disease. So does eating have anything to do with the disease? Well, I preach that all the time, that I think nutrition plays a big role in lifestyle diseases. So, you know, how do we go from the standard American diet, and what is the ultimate success of a plant-based diet? You can't ever get sick. Do perfect eaters get COVID? Do perfect eaters die? You know, we really don't know, as bad as I hate to say it, we really don't know what the ultimate perfect diet is, and it can't be the same for everybody. You know, we know that fruits and vegetables are good for us. It's a continuum. If somebody was eating hamburgers and we got them to eat more vegetables, it would be better. The study showed early on that eating olive oil was better than mayonnaise. It's a continuum. But even if we knew the perfect diet, you know, there are people out there that, you know, say you need to eat, you know, the daily dozen of these things, or you need to eat this or that every day. And if we make it so authoritarian and it's so regimented, do we take, you know, is it fun, or we take the enjoyment out of it? And can we actually follow something that is so rigid that there's no wiggle room every day of our lives, and it is just becoming it's overwhelmingly stressful, and we don't like the process? So I think that, you know, so changing your nutrition and trying to be as healthy as you can, and if you define being as healthy as you can lifespan or health span, then you also have to define what that process is and to be able to enjoy that process. And I think, you know, I guess me included, sometimes take that away from people. Even the sentence, "Let food be thy medicine," if it becomes only medicine, then it's like taking medicine. It's not that fun. It's not something that people want to focus on all the time. If it's all about, you know, we have the controversies between being vegan and plant-based, and if you're worried, if you look down and, you know, the ethical treatment of every little being, does it go down to the fire ant? Does it, you know, I've heard people get in terribly heated arguments over being vegan. It's a process. You know, I think perhaps we need to put the fun back into plant-based nutrition and, you know, start focusing on the enjoyment that you can have in the process, as opposed to just focusing on the numbers like we do with medications. You know, do we get your blood pressure down? Do we get your cholesterol down? Let's focus on the process to make people enjoy that better. I got to tell you, when I started to do the notes for this podcast, I'm very much a goal-oriented person, and, you know, focus more on the success of becoming plant-based, or the success of becoming, you know, what I would define as a good runner, or the, you know, whatever success, you know, a good golfer or whatever. And the more that I wrote, thought, and talked about things, it certainly changed my view to be focused more on the process. Perhaps it's the practice of health, or the practice of plant-based medicine is how we should describe it, as opposed to achieving certain goals. You know, because when it comes down to it, are you better in the end? You know, is a miserable person that's plant-based better than a happy person that, you know, isn't? I don't know. I'm not going to go there. That's when you define it for everybody. But I think we need to put the enjoyment back into the process of it, because ultimately there are no guarantees. You know, none of us are going to get out of this world alive. I'm not going to be in the Olympics running the marathon. So it's a continuum of how good you are, how good you would like to be. But then again, this big process in the middle. I think we need to present to people how, you know, what is, perhaps the healthiest way to be. Certainly we need to do scientific studies that look at outcomes so that we can give people goals to strive for. I think when people are transitioning to eat a better diet, then it's all about, you know, how can this be fun, and how can you transition into things that make it not painful? If it takes you 4 hours to get your lunch on the table, is it really worth living another hour? I don't know. I think that it's a process. When we talk about, you know, people getting back on the wagon, you know, who cares about being on the plant-based wagon if you're miserable all the time that you're there? You need to have a good time. I tell people every day that I enjoy my breakfast, my lunch, and my dinner. So it's my job to show people how you can do that, not to regiment them into having a shopping list of things that they have to swallow on a daily basis in order to maintain health and browbeat them if they don't eat that way or look a certain way. There was one example that was brought up this week. I was asked about black cumin. Is it better than regular cumin? And, you know, someone was told that they should eat black cumin every day, and they didn't even know where to get black cumin. And, you know, was it better than regular cumin? And, you know, so cumin comes from a seed. Cumin seeds are, you know, not unlike flax seeds, and there's black cumin versus brown cumin. Black cumin actually comes from, there's two different plants. One plant is more South American, Bunium bulbosantum versus Nigella sativa. They're two different plants. The Nigella plant is more, there's more extensive research on it. We know that regular old cumin has a lot of anti-inflammatory benefits and nutrients to it. Indian people tend to have less cancers than American people. They eat a lot of cumin, a lot of turmeric, a lot of spice in their food. Black cumin has been shown to, it has this most, the most accurate, active compound it has is a thymoquinone, which is thought to maybe decrease Parkinson's, maybe help with mental illness, decrease cardiovascular disease, help with diabetes, help with some cancer. It even was thought of as a potential for helping AIDS victims in Africa. So it's a very strong antioxidant. It's shown to maybe decrease interleukin 6 levels, which is an immune response cytokine that activates macrophages. So maybe it is really good, but do we have to take it every day? Do we have to measure it? How much? Do we, you know, do we have to stress over it? Certainly not. And I think that, you know, there's so many, there's 40,000 vegetables out there, just like there, you know, different people do different things. And so there's so many to choose from. Why limit yourself to a cup of blueberries and black and a tablespoon of black cumin when you might be able to have, you know, a tablespoon of chia seeds and blackberries? You know, a variety is the spice of life, so to speak. So I think when we get so regimented in things, we take the fun out of it, and it's not going to be able to last. So I think it depends a lot on your personality and your culture. It may just be so foreign to you to make these big changes right away that you need to do them at a slower, you know, a slower change. To win at any cost might not be worth it. You know, it's play your best, you know, at the end of the day and be and success and celebrate the successes that you have and the wins that you have every day. And you keep striving for more. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's probably, you know, more days that something goes wrong than goes right. That's why those wins are so important. And to be celebrated when you do get them. If I look at marathon running, you know, there's been two or three that really went well. The other ones didn't go so well. But I have a lot of good stories about the ones that didn't go well. And even, you know, the there's a lot of stories that go with, you know, the injuries that happened along the way and the comebacks. So it all goes together to, you know, to as the process of being a runner, as opposed to being a winning runner or a runner that always has good times. And you know, so when we put impossible goals on ourselves, then, you know, it becomes hard to function on a day to day. You know, we're gonna miss a lot more golf shots and three free throws than we actually win. But it's really the thrill of the process, the thrill of the chase, the thrill of not really knowing the outcome. I don't know if eating plant-based is going to make me live longer than I would have eating the other way, 100%. I don't know. I could get run over by a car. I know that given my genetics and my family history, the odds are in my favor that I'm going to do better eating plant-based. I know from my experience and what I've learned that people's heart disease does much better on a plant-based diet. I've also experienced people that weren't perfect on a plant-based diet that are still doing much better than they did when they weren't eating a fully plant-based diet. I have elderly people that aren't fully plant-based that have changed and become more plant-based that are still doing better than they did. I have elderly people that are no longer plant-based that do much worse. But they, so it's really is a process, and the beauty of it is we don't really know the ultimate outcome, but we do need to enjoy the process. And, you know, it's the fight to the finish that makes it all, you know, worth playing. And it's, you know, when you're watching the football game and there's a minute left and something great happens against all odds, that's why you turn on the TV every day to watch those games week after week. And hopefully they'll come back at some point. I can remember my grandmother said one day a long time ago when the World Series was on during the week and the Yankees were playing somebody else, and she said, they're losing. Why don't they just quit? But it's the hope that you might win that keeps us all in the game and keeps us all going the next day. So I hope that, I didn't make everybody run out and buy Snickers and fried chicken with this. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying cut yourself a break on the process and take time to smell the roses and enjoy the process of becoming plant-based and changing your diet. And you know, enjoy the learning process. I have loved learning about running. I continue to do so and to try to refine my running technique. I try to refine my garden technique to try to be the best that I can. But I still enjoy what the successes I have along the way. Next week, I am going to have Stuart McGill on the podcast to maybe shed some light on some back injuries and back health. To digress a little bit more about the inflammation, and when I spoke on cumin and interleukin 6, you know, what podcast in the spring of 2020 wouldn't be complete with out a little talk, a little bit of talk on COVID, but looking at the process of how people are getting sick and if they're having symptoms right away versus with COVID, people, you know, with the influenza, you're kind of sick all of a sudden. You felt well yesterday, and then all of a sudden you feel bad. But with COVID, it takes 3 or 4 days for people really catch on that something's wrong. The fever starts, a cough starts. Another thing is loss of smell, and people are trying to figure out why there's a delay. The virus infects the cell in the lung, the kidney, perhaps the heart, and then the virus is copied. And part of that, you know, infection, you know, there's a delay in the response, and it actually might be due to that interleukin 6 that we talked about with the cumin. The cumin decreases the interleukin 6 levels. Interleukin 6 is a cytokine that's produced by our bodies, and it basically tells our macrophages, or part of our, you know, our immune cells, to go attack something. We're not sure what, but attack something. And it seems that the interleukin 6 response is is what really gets things going in COVID. And if you look at the people that have had or suffered the worst with this infection, it's the diabetics, it's people that are overweight, and people with hypertension. But one thing that diabetics and being overweight have a lot in common is they have an elevated level of interleukin 6 at all times. So when you're overweight, your body's actually producing these inflammatory cytokines. When you have diabetes, your body's producing these inflammatory cytokines. And so when you get sick with something like this that stimulates more of those, it's very interesting to me as a doctor that these people are suffering the most. So to me, again, that's another reason to say, okay, we've got to attack this diabetes and this obesity problem because of the inflammation and what it's doing to people's immune system. So if something good comes out of a very terrible spring with this COVID, it's that it's a wake-up call that we need to put as one of our big goals. The ultimate success is to reverse diabetes and to reverse obesity and reverse hypertension, and know that that is possible. I might not be able to reverse mortality. I think we can extend it by how we eat, but I can certainly improve people's life if we get rid of diabetes and hypertension, which we can. So if you can put that as one of your goals and work that steady, and it's not easy. People that are diabetic know that that process is a day-by-day, hour-by-hour task at changing what you do to decrease your need for exogenous insulin, need for medication, and ultimately normalize your glucose. So that's a really good goal to set, especially, you know, when infectious disease are now becoming a part of our, you know, our daily news and our daily lives, is to focus on how not to get these things and how to reverse it. And certainly eating plant-based is the way to go there. There's been no other way of eating that reverses it. But again, it comes down to a process. And you've got to, it's a extended process. My diabetics that have gone from 100 units of insulin down to zero, we're talking 6 months to a year. So it's like training for a marathon. Day in and day out, not every day is a good dietary day. Not every run is a good run, but they have to keep focused on what the ultimate goal is. So I hope this, somewhat shorter podcast will, you know, shed some light. You can think about it too, whether you're a more process-oriented person versus a goal-oriented person. But I do hope that, you know, we can help you enjoy the transition to plant-based nutrition. I enjoyed my meals this week. Yesterday I made a red lentil curry with eggplant and summer squash and tomatoes and poblano peppers. And I use the cumin. I use brown cumin and turmeric and ginger and garlic, you know, all very immune building. We had a potato soup, potato poblano and white bean soup this week. Again, very, very tasty. The salads that I enjoyed this week were my sushi salad, where I put some spinach and rice and peppers, fresh ginger, carrots, tomato, cucumber. My taco type salad with fresh salsa and avocado on my spinach and mixed greens and arugula. I had my microgreens in my lunch each week. Watermelon is coming into season here in Florida, and you can get it other places. I had a really good watermelon this week. I'm enjoying some mangoes. The honey mangoes are coming out that you can get. They come out of Mexico. I enjoy papaya every day. I have some trees that have papaya on them. But it's a very good fruit for digestion. Again, blueberries are coming into season in Florida, so I'm looking forward to going and picking blueberries tomorrow, so that'll be great. So enjoy the process of becoming healthy and preventing diabetes. I could be a diabetic in a heartbeat if I ate the way I used to eat. But I also want to enjoy the process. So, you know, at night, my dessert, frozen blueberries and frozen bananas together. I put a little soy milk on there. I look at that as the process to my ultimate health, but it's also an immediate satisfaction that I've got dessert. So I think there's ways around all this. We have people in the practice that are training for their marathon, and they're, you know, one step at a time. But it's a great process. We're doing breathing exercises where people, you know, like Patrick McGowan and his book, in the podcast that we had him on, talk about, you know, walking and with breath holds to see how many steps you can do. So make it a challenge. Make these things a game to have fun with. You know, see what kind of creations you can come up with. See how pretty you can plate your food. See what new vegetables you can do and new recipes you can do. It shouldn't be a fight. It shouldn't be a chore. It should be exciting to do. We're doing Zoom nutrition classes in the practice and, you know, enjoying people's feedback. People are putting on our private Facebook group some of the foods that they've been eating. So it's fun to share recipes that are healthy, just like it is to share those gooey previous, you know, mayonnaise containing heart disease promoting recipes. So it's somewhat on how you look at it, and your attitude toward it. But you know, you can make fun out of just about anything. And I would challenge you to do that this week, to see how much fun you can have in the kitchen with your family, doing new recipes, sharing new recipes, even sharing your failures, because it's really, you know, sometimes sharing your failures is as much fun as sharing your successes when things go wrong. When things, sometimes you just screw up in the kitchen and it's a mistake. And, you know, celebrate those and have fun, you know, or see how you can pull it out, you know, when something is starting to go awry. Can you ultimately make it better, or is it just a loss? But don't get down on yourself if not everything is tasting perfect. But do have enough, believe in yourself enough to, that you deserved it for it to taste good and for you to be happy during it. Shouldn't be a punishment. So don't punish yourself by being plant-based, but keep your eye on the goal and enjoy the process. So that'll be my thought for today. If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. If everybody shared it with their friends, I could really up the downloads. We're at episode 250. I like to see, you know, to really up the downloads and get this podcast moving. So do, you can just copy the link and share it with your friends, have them listen to it. If you have any questions, you can email me at jamie@drdulaney.com. It's DocTorDulaney. Visit our website, check out our cookbook. And again, listen next week if you've ever had any back pain, because we're gonna talk to the guru as far as fixing your back. So enjoy, have a great week, be safe, and enjoy the process.